This is another Pearlie Mae Carr profound wisdom thing that I really cherish. And she told me, son, I don't know if you played basketball that you were supposed to be some superstar, hotshot basketball player. But I know that God gave you just enough so you could have a voice to impact people. So that has kind of been now Chris 2.0 and Chris 3.0 as running my business and running my AAU program and being a high school coach and then transitioning from that into college coaching and trying to forge my path of trying to become a head coach. That's been the constant driving force behind everything that I do is be bigger than just a basketball coach. Be an influencer of young people, be able to impact young people in a positive way.
Goodness, I love that new jam. It is another great day to get better. Whether your day was filled with setback or success, whether your dreams came together or fell apart, whether you're in pieces or in place, you can become undone. Becoming Undone is the podcast for those who dare bravely, risk mightily, and grow relentlessly. Join me, Toby Brooks, as I invite a new guest each week to examine how high achievers can transform from falling apart to falling into place. In episode 43, we got to meet the fantastic Chris Carr, a seasoned NBA veteran who overcame humble beginnings in small-town Missouri all the way to the NBA stage and beyond. In part one, we got to hear Chris's story of stolen skateboards, carried basketball shoes, and incredible growth spurts on his way to a D1 scholarship at Southern Illinois University Carbondale, where he helped the team to three straight NCAA appearances before declaring for the NBA draft. We also heard Chris tell his tale of draft night, of making a crowded roster with the Phoenix Suns his rookie year, and going to the finals against an 18-year-old Kobe Bryant in the slam dunk contest in year two. In this episode, we get gritty and discuss the end of Chris's playing career and the start of Chris 2.0 and now 3.0, a life as a basketball business owner and eventually a coach with dreams still ahead. I'm glad you came back to give the second half of Chris's story a listen. Stay tuned for episode 44, Elevate Part 2 with Chris Carr. So, your NBA career, six seasons, you sprinkled in some international play as well. Let's, for the sake of time, Chris, I could talk to you for the rest of the night. This is great stuff. I love the stories. But let's kind of fast forward to the end of that season of your life. So you were with the Cavaliers, I believe, at your last stop, October 12th, 2003, and then announced your retirement November 1st after you were released. What was the mentality like? Were you ready for the end of that, or did you feel like you had more left in the tank, just didn't have the right situation?
Yeah, well, so I started the season. That was LeBron's rookie year, and I'm with them through training camp and through first maybe handful of weeks of the season, and I get waived. And I was at home, I'm working out, and my agent says, hey, you need to be ready because January 10th, 10 days will start. The Clippers are going to bring you in. I've already got it worked out. And you go out there, you play well, get your second 10-day, get to the rest of the season, and then let's go from there. So I am working out, and I go up, and I plant to dunk. And I hear this pop in my, and I don't know what it is. I had thought that a dude had chased me from behind and kicked me.
Sports medicine geek insert time here. Ligaments affix bones to bones. Tendons, on the other hand, connect muscles to bones. In the case of the patellar tendon, technically it runs from the inferior part of the kneecap, or the patella, to the tibial tuberosity on the tibia, or the shin bone. By definition, that's a ligament. Nobody calls it that, though. It is the patellar tendon. Now, for all of us, that's a critical structure. It attaches the quadriceps muscle of the thigh to the lower leg so that we can walk, run, and jump. To an elite athlete like Chris, however, it's instrumental in developing the power and explosiveness required to play basketball at the highest level in the world. And the crazy part about complete tendon ruptures is that frequently, they don't actually hurt, at least not at first. When the structure tears in half, there's no tension on the injured parts. So for the athlete, this can be a disorienting and surreal experience to see something like your kneecap resting mid-thigh where it shouldn't be, yet feel no pain. For Chris, the moment he felt that dreaded pop, his career was in immediate jeopardy.
And so, like, I sit down on the floor and I look back behind me. And I'm looking at the other end of the floor. None of them guys ran back. And I was like, yo, why are you trying to block my dunk? You ain't going to block it from behind me. And he said, Mr. Carr, I was nowhere near you. And then I had not taken the time to look at my leg yet. And my kneecap is up in the middle of my thigh. And my leg is stuck in a bent position. And I start looking around like, and everybody's quiet. And I start looking around like, this is weird. And so a friend of mine who happened to be my therapist, personal trainer guy, he's there. He comes out on the court and he looks at me and he kind of like shakes his head and he gets a real like serious face. And I was like, my leg is stuck. I said, I can't move my leg. He's like, yeah. And he taps on my knees like, that's your femoral condyle. And I was like, yeah, anyway, I said, I don't know what that is. So I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like, so he pops my leg, boom, back straight. And that hurt. I was like, ah, like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, just stay there. And he calls and he has the clinic like, hey, I need you to bring me a leg immobilizer over right now. And I was like, man, why are you being so serious? Well, I can't feel anything in my leg because my patella tendon is completely ruptured. And I was like, man, this is weird. I don't know why he's. And now it starts to throb a little bit. And he's like, I said, well, what's wrong? He's like, well, he says, your patella's gone. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it's gone. He's sticking his finger in my knee joint. He's like, that's your ACL ligament. I said, what? He's like, yeah. And he's like, and he starts feeling around my leg. He says, here's your kneecap up here. That ain't supposed to be there. So then I start like, okay, now I start breathing fast. And he's like, eh, calm down. You're going to be all right. So I get on a plane that night, fly to St. Louis, and Dr. Richard Lehman, who's a dear friend of mine, he performs surgery on me, ruptured patella tendon. He fixes it. And so from there, was I ready for it to end? I don't think I was necessarily ready. I think that it was kind of God's way of telling me it's time to move on, more so than I was necessarily ready. And yeah, I mean, I worked my tail off to get back. I got invited to training camp the following fall in Toronto. Rob Babcock was the director of player personnel. He's like, Chris, we want you to come up. And like, I actually, in that meantime, sidebar, we get to like the first of the year and I'm sitting at the kitchen table and my wife, God bless her, I'm thankful that she still believes in me and we're still together. So I look at her and I said, hey, I think I'm going to start my own business. And she's like, okay. I said, yep. And I'm going to use my savings to do it. And she says, yeah, let's talk about that. And I said, and it's going to be a basketball business. And she's like, sure. As you're sitting here with your leg in a cast and on crutches. But you know what? She believed in me. And man, I started my 43 Hoops Basketball Academy. And that was kind of how I segued into the next phase of my life. And, you know, the one thing that I always take away from, and this is another Pearly Mae Carr profound wisdom thing that I really cherish. And she told me, she's like, son, I don't know if you played basketball that you were supposed to be some superstar hotshot basketball player. She's like, but I know that God gave you just enough so you could have a voice to impact people. Yeah. And so that has kind of been now Chris 2.0 and Chris 3.0 as running my business and running my AAU program and being a high school coach and then transitioning from that into college coaching at Kansas State and now being here at Drury University and trying to forge my path of trying to become a head coach. That's been kind of the constant driving force behind everything that I do is like, you know, be bigger than just a basketball coach, be an influencer of young people, be able to impact young people in a positive way.
Man, that's so powerful when people we love speak that kind of belief and life into us. I was a drummer at a church for a small amount of time. My wife and I were the only white couple in the whole church. So it was kind of a running joke that like, okay, this black church has a white drummer, haha, you know, Philip Blank. But this was when I was in grad school in Arizona. And so I'd finished my grad degree and it was time to move from Tucson. And one of the members of the church came up and said, "You're somebody's drummer. You're not ours anymore, but you're somebody's." And it was just like, in that moment, I needed to know that somebody believed in me enough to know that in that next season, you'd been prepared for this. So, so powerful to know that that adversity growing up as the small guy on the team and being all that was to set you up so that now you've got connection points with athletes that you coach, that you speak life into. If it had all been Chris Carr, all world MVP, all the time, how do you connect with someone who's struggling to make their team, struggling to find a place on the roster or find a place on the floor? So that adversity is, it serves a purpose. So you end up at K-State, so Power Five, women's side, and now you're at Drury. What has the coaching journey taught you that maybe playing hadn't?
That you have to have patience, wisdom, and understanding whenever you're standing on the sideline and you're incapable of stepping across that sideline to execute what needs to be done. Mm. It comes down to how well that you can communicate, enunciate, and teach the game and connect with your players to allow them to tap deeper into themselves to get a desired result, which is winning. And I'm not saying winning in a game. I'm saying winning, you win in different aspects of life and you use the game to teach about life. And so that's where you really truly learn how well you can connect and teach and understand the various aspects of being a coach. And, you know, I'm really thankful that I've had the opportunities that I've had to invest in young people and being able to be a part of some very successful programs. Went to 3 postseasons at Kansas State, would have been a 4th if one hadn't been cut short to COVID. Now we've been a part of a rebuild here at Drury University. Now we've had, you know, back-to-back really good recruiting classes, and we've had the freshman of the year in the conference, the defensive player of the year in the conference. And now I think we've really turned things. For me, my quest has been, I want to be a head coach, and I desire to be a head coach, but before you can lead, you have to follow.
This is that Pearly May Carr work ethic and humility shining through again. Chris has been on the sport's biggest stage. He has the pedigree as one of the most dominant high school players in Missouri State history, being inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame in 2022. In college, he had an incredible run with 3 consecutive NCAA appearances, being named Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year in 1995, after leading the league in scoring with 22 points a game. He scored nearly 2,000 points during his 6-year NBA career, and then he spent time on the bench as a women's coach in the Big 12, and now as a men's coach at D2 Drury University. But he's not entitled. He's hungry. He isn't pointing to the lines that are already on his resume. He's concerned about the ones that are yet to be written. His humility and willingness to learn and to be coachable, it's inspiring. I needed to hear this today, Chris. Thank you for the example that you're setting for your fellow coaches, players, and fans. And I have full confidence your time is coming.
And you have to have an understanding of a multitude of aspects. It's not just about the X's, the O's. It's not just about the wins and losses. It's a very broad spectrum of things that I'm getting a chance to learn every single day and applying that to the wisdom that I've already gained from being a college player, being an NBA player, coaching high school basketball, coaching AAU basketball, being a businessman, transitioning through all the different aspects and different portals of all that stuff. It really allowed me to become a much better version of myself. I think most of the time my wife thinks that I'm a better version of myself. I think there are days that I get on her nerves, but we manage for the most part. So, but no, it's been great for me, and it's just continuing to chase greatness in every facet of life as a student of the game, as a teacher of the game, as a husband, as a father, as a mentor, life partner, just all of those things. You just constantly chase greatness and chase perfection, knowing that you're never going to be able to grab perfection, but man, you just try to come as close as possible as you can.
Chrissy Carr, boy, that looked good out of her hands. 13 for Chrissy, and the lead is back to 7.
Out of that, they'll get another look. This kid right here is automatic. Cameron Carr may be one of the best shooters in the country.
Oh, there ain't. I don't think there's any make.
Yeah,
to it.
I mean, this dude is automatic. Off the bounce, off the catch.
Oh, what a play. What a play.
Oh, time play. Jeez. And just when you thought you could forget about him, Cameron Carr.
Well, certainly no secret. Your kids are doing well, too. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Carr household.
Oh, man. Well, let's see here. So my wife and I get married. We are getting ready to celebrate our 24th wedding anniversary. I will say that to her now because she will not know the exact 24, honey. You're 23 last year. Oh, 23. You're right. She got it right. I got it wrong. I was 1 year ahead. We did not just talk about this, but I'm going to say that we did. But no, 23 years. We've been together 26 total. We have oldest two daughters are by marriage, and I love them dearly, Taylor and Tamika. So Taylor is the most interesting person in the world. She's like the Dosaki's man, but she's the woman version. Because Taylor went to college. She went to University of Minnesota. She joined a sorority. And then she decided that she was going to squeeze every drop of life out of everything that she does. She studied abroad in Africa for part of a year. She came back. She went through a Teachers for America program, came back and got placed into a Somalian elementary middle school. She is this 5'7". She's not of color. And she gets placed in this school and absolutely loves it and does a phenomenal job. She gets married to her high school sweetheart. His name is Parker. And they just celebrated their 1 year wedding anniversary. And now they're getting ready to move from Chicago to Florida and start the next phase of their life. And they're great. Daughter Tamika played Division I volleyball. She went to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. She's arguably the toughest kid to come out of our household. And the rest of the household would argue with that. I would say she played her senior year on a broken ankle. And she went from getting a cortisone shot in her ankle like once every couple months to by the time she got to the end of the season, she's getting a cortisone shot about once a week, which was absolutely not healthy at all. But I'm trying to talk her out of it, and I'm telling the doctor, do not put that in her leg. And she's like, Dad, I'm going to play. So this is what I got to do to play. I'll get it fixed at the end of the season, but I'm playing. I'm like, your leg is broken. She's like, I don't care. I'm going to walk off the court on the last game of my senior year. So shout out to her. Now she's an assistant volleyball coach at Kent State University. She's absolutely killing it. Glad she's doing well. Daughter Christiana played 3 years at Kansas State, went to Syracuse for a year, graduated from there, actually made the dean's list her senior year, which is a fun fact for her because she, just like any of the rest of us, would have never figured that she would make the dean's list, but she did at Syracuse her senior year. Then she played her graduate year at University of Arkansas for Coach Mike Neighbors and had just a great ending to her college career. Now she works as a social media manager for this really big boutique down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And so she's kind of transitioning into the next phase of her life. And then I got my son, Cameron, who just recently graduated from Link Academy, headed off to Tennessee. His journey, whenever his story is written, it's kind of similar to mine for the things that he has been through as an athlete, as a high school athlete. And for him to be going to Tennessee is the most unbelievable blessing because I told him about this time last year, he was like, I don't know why I'm not ranked. I said, once you get past 100,000, they don't rank you, son. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was true. So think about it. So as a 14-year-old, he played on a really good 15U team. The year before that, the team that he went to was the team that won the NBA World Championship that ESPN, NBA, and Basketball Without Borders, they run that every year for both the boys and the girls, 14U kids. The team that won it was out of Kansas City, Missouri. Cameron went to play with them the next year on the AAU program, which they have a guy that's going to probably be drafting the lottery. His name is Grady Dick, played at Kansas. Cameron was teammates with him. Cameron's playing up an age group. He's the little kid on the team, like 4'11", little scrawny little kid. Breaks his thumb in May, not allowed to play till July. Team's doing really good, so he doesn't get an opportunity to play. 15U year, COVID hits. No college coach is allowed to be on the road, doesn't get a chance. I mean, plays the same teams every weekend the whole summer. Gets to a 16U year, plays part of the season with one team, decides that he's going to go play for a very reputable program called MOCAN, which for this area of the country, they're like the powerhouse of like bringing summer basketball. They're sponsored by Nike. They're on the elite youth basketball league. And so he made a decision in May of that year that I'm going to go play for this upstart prep school called Link Academy down in Branson, Missouri. They live in the forest and they live in these cabins and they're isolated away from civilization and they have school and basketball and not necessarily in that order. He goes, commits to going to do this. First game at Peach Jam in Augusta, South Carolina. He comes off the bench, he hits a three, gets a dunk, comes down the court the very next trip, plans to go up to shoot a layup. He will tell you he's going to dunk. I'm going to say he was going to shoot layup. Ruptures his patella tendon in his left leg. They have to fly him home. He has surgery by who else? Dr. Lehman out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Did you catch that? Left patellar tendon rupture. Dr. Richard Lehman. In a story you couldn't make up if you tried, the very same orthopedic surgeon ends up repairing Chris's injury at the conclusion of his career and his son Cameron's very same injury at the start of his. In prepping for the show, I found YouTube footage of Cameron, and first off, I absolutely love that he wears the 43 that is now as synonymous with the Carr family as it is Richard Petty. Second of all, Cameron can ball. As a Texas Tech fan, I'm only sad that he won't be wearing my red and black, but instead is headed to the University of Tennessee. But in order to get there, he had to overcome the adversity of the very same injury that put an end to his dad's pro career. And now the father-son duo has a connection like few others.
And so here's where the story gets great. Misses the majority of his junior year, comes back for just in time for AAU season, doesn't play a lot, and he gets home in May. And he reached the crossroads. A, we got to start thinking about if you're going to go to prep school after post-grad. B, going to change AAU teams. Or C, you're going to work and fight like crazy to get into rotation and help your team accomplish the goal that you set out to accomplish, which is win Peach Jam. He says, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I set out to do this, and this is what I said I was going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Ends up being an integral part of his team. They win the Peach Jam, which is one of the most exclusive spring and summer AAU tournaments to win. Mm-hmm. Comes, wins it, big part of it. Great. So proud of him. Turns around then. Well, now he's his prep school. He's going back to for a senior season. Then a coaching change. And he says, well, my other goal was to win Geico Nationals. They lost in the championship his junior year. He says, well, no, I'm going to go win Geico Nationals. I was like, okay. That's going to be really hard to do. There's some really good teams out there. He's like, yeah, he says, but I think I'm the it factor. And he said it at first kind of like with his goofy cockiness that he has from time to time. But then the more that it started to play out, he became that. And like he was kind of the driving force behind what that team missed from the year before. His shooting ability, his length, his size, his athleticism, his defensive versatility. It just really came together as he started last fall, and he went from not having any college offers to coming out of the first session in July with 20. Wow. And then he went into the fall of 2022, September 9th. He's got about 50 college coaches sitting in the stands watching him, and he starts playing really well, and now he starts picking up offers from Northwestern and Louisville and Tennessee, and it just really starts to take off for them. And so, man, it's been just an amazing ride. They have an unbelievable season. They only lost one game the whole year, and they go win a national championship. And he's the only player in history to win a Peach Jam championship and a Geico championship in the same year. And I don't know how much he had to do with it, but I can't say that he didn't have a lot to do with it just due to the fact that the common denominator behind all of them was him being healthy and him playing and them winning. So proud of him. Now he's off to his next phase of life. He's going into Tennessee, and, you know, he's got to go down there and find a way to wedge his feet in the door in terms of getting in the rotation and playing. But Coach Barnes is a great mentor. He's an old school guy. He's going to be tough on him. He's going to push him. But at the same time, he's going to love him. Some days it's going to be tough love. But for the most part, my son covets a great relationship with the people that he plays for. And so I'm really excited about the next phase for him, because he went from unknown to like ESPN, like, you know, 87 or whatever. And I just smile at it, because I'm like, yeah, I said, this time last year, you was 100,000. So, you know, you've made some significant jumps in the last 9 months. So, man, we're just proud of him, man. I couldn't be more blessed to have my wife and the success of my kids. More importantly, the health of my kids, I think, is probably more than anything, to give them the ability to go out and do the things that they do, and to have a wife that's been unwavering in her support of all of it, because she keeps it all running. Oh, yeah. And she works, and she has a pretty hectic work schedule, but she manages to keep it all moving, and she doesn't miss any of my son's games. She didn't miss a ton of my daughter's games, and she can do the wooey pig suey chant with the best of them.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that, well, I don't know that it's cool. It's definitely a piece of trivia that the same surgeon did the same surgery on father and son, but you were there to walk him through that. Same knee, even same side. Yes. And as you're telling the story of him kind of manifesting that Geico championship, I'm picturing a young, confident Chris saying MVC player of the year, Chevrolet player of the game. Like, you made that happen. That was your vision. And you taught that to your son. So that's pretty awesome. Well, for the sake of time, I got two left for you. One of them is, if we were to cut together a clip from little 5'5" Chris growing up in the sticks of Missouri till today, and we cut together this montage of your life, what song would be playing in the background?
That's a great question. Let me see. That's a good one. I don't know. I think one song that kind of encapsulates all of that, I could probably go with some vintage Guns N' Roses, like Welcome to the Jungle. That might be in there. I don't know. That would be a good one. I don't know. That
rural Missouri really rubbed off on you, Chris.
Oh man, my wife, she laughs, because we'll be listening to stuff. Like, my kids, they have no idea. Like, I can flip on some classic rock and they'll be like, who is this guy? And they laugh. My wife is just like, yeah, she's like, he's awesome to play Trivial Pursuit with, because we win. Yep. So no, I don't really know. Hun, what do you think a song that would be a montage of my life? What's one song that would encapsulate all that I've done? She's laughing. She's like, I don't know.
Well, that's cool. We can come back to it. I actually put together like a mixtape of all my guests, like a Spotify playlist. And so we'll drop your song in there if you come up with it. Last one now. Obviously, it's been a wild ride. Lots of ups, lots of downs. What for Chris Carr is left undone?
Left undone, probably I would say accomplishing what I set out to be would be a collegiate head coach. That would be one. And probably the other thing is just continuing to strive to be just the best husband, father, man that I can be. I think that's a constantly evolving thing in life. And, you know, just seeing my children through the all the next chapters of their life, I think, you know, are probably the things that are probably yet stories to be told, I would probably say. I wouldn't necessarily say undone. Those would probably be it. That and, yet to be undone, going to Venezuela and fishing for peacock bass. That would be
sounds like a bucket list.
Yeah, but no, I've been really blessed. I've been able to be a part of a lot of great things and been fortunate to see my kids through a lot of triumphs and try to minimize heartache, even though that's what allows them to grow and be the people that they're going to become. I always say it's not about the journey, it's about the struggle.
Yeah.
Because it makes the reward that much better. And so that's where I really feel that things have kind of just continued to go, is this journey of life. And I'm thankful that I get to do it. I have a great wife to do it with. I have great kids. And, you know, now they're not even kids. I got to start calling them young people or adults, because they're growing constantly.
Right. Well, Chris, you're a Drury now in Springfield, Missouri. If people want to keep tabs on you, what are your social handles? What's the best way people can connect with you?
My Twitter is at Drury Coach Carr, and my Instagram is, where's my Instagram handle? I don't even know. I never look at my.
You're very Gen X. I do the same thing. Like, yeah. I got social media. I don't necessarily remember what it is if you ask me, but.
Yeah, my Instagram name is, my wife is a social media, at Coach Carr 43 on Instagram is what I do. But you get to see a lot of fun videos. You know what? I am going to post the video of my son-in-law doing the gritty. It is absolutely, people would get the most enjoyment. I would get 50,000 likes from that because he looks like such a goofball doing it, but it's hilarious. And understand, my son-in-law's very conservative, very kind of laid back, but man, oh, every once in a while he'll do something and just have you just busting a gut. So yeah, those will be my social media things. And I'm just really thankful. I appreciate you having me on, man. This has been a lot of fun.
This was awesome. Well, Chris, it's been a real pleasure. I can't thank you enough for your time.
My man, I appreciate your time and thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
I've shared part of this story before, but after 2 years of community college from 1993 till 1995, I decided to try my luck and go away to a school in Indiana to try and play basketball. It was a moment of bravery that was overshadowed by a season of cowardice. I came dragging back to Southern Illinois after only one semester. I spent that spring of 1996 in a dorm room at SIU where, as luck would have it, my roommate actually successfully walked on the basketball team at SIU. I felt like everywhere I looked was a reminder of my failure and of my inability to continue to play the game I loved ever again. The next year, some friends from high school and I rented a 5-bedroom house in Carbondale, where we lived. I was working on a degree in athletic training. I figured if I couldn't play competitive sports anymore, I'd find a way to make them my life's work as a healthcare provider. Over that same span, Chris had gone from Conference Player of the Year at SIU in 1995 to a rookie season with the Phoenix Suns from 95 to 96, before he eventually ended up in Minnesota with the T-Wolves, right about the time I was settling into my new but safe life in Carbondale. I bought my first computer around that time, and one splurge purchase was on NBA Live 96. As my roommates and I were checking it out after installing it, I remember thinking that I would always be the T-Wolves. Chris Carr was there. He was an example to me that big things can come from small towns, and that small towns can lead to bigger opportunities. For both of us, that meant a season or two in Carbondale. And by God, if Chris Carr could take a few years in Carbondale and turn it into a launching pad where I could see him in the finals of the NBA Slam Dunk Contest, or created as a playable likeness in my favorite and only video game, then maybe I could do something big too. So thanks, Chris. Thanks for the memories of seeing you and your teammates in the Saluki Maroon. Thanks for the example of believing in yourself that a kid from Ironton, Missouri could grow up to play D1 ball. And that a guy from a mid-major school could declare a year early for the draft and spend the next 6 seasons in the NBA. But most of all, thank you for helping me believe, during some of the darkest days of my life, that the road to my future could be right on course as it passed through Carbondale, Illinois. For more info on today's episode, be sure to check it out on the web. Simply go to undonepodcast.com/EP44 to see the notes, the links, the images related to today's guest, Chris Carr. If you've enjoyed the show, I've got just one simple request. Would you be so kind as to share it with somebody else? It'd really go a long way in helping me spread the word and spread the show, Becoming Undone. I know there are tons of great stories out there to be told, and I'm always on the lookout. So if you or someone you know has a story that we can all be inspired by, tell me about it. Surf on over to undonepodcast.com, click that contact tab in the top menu, and drop me a note. Coming up, I have motivational speaker Tim Kite, as well as University of Washington strength coach Ron McKeefrey. Also on deck, I've got former American Gladiator Darren Malibu McBee and friend and cancer treatment expert Dr. Phil Anton. So stay tuned. This and more coming up on Becoming Undone. Becoming Undone is a NitroHype creative production written and produced by me, Toby Brooks. If you or someone you know has a story of resilience and victory to share for Becoming Undone, contact me at undonepodcast.com. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Becoming Undone Pod. And follow me at Toby J. Brooks. listen, subscribe, and leave us a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, everybody, keep getting better.